Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Radio Podcast. It is I, Puma Malone, with Black Thor and Ice Water. If you missed the first 40, we just completed the first 40, and we got some arguing to do because we left with unfinished business on the first 40. But I know Black wanted to say something. Now, the question was, I feel that the UFC has taken over boxing. They're number one. Here's how I see it, Black. It's the UFC MMA, it's the WWE, it's the glow girls, the glamorous ladies of wrestling, and then there comes boxing. Because what they pulled Saturday, showed me that they didn't have the guts or the nuts to go up against the UFC head-to-head and say to the audience, choose between us. They really kind of put their tail between their legs, waited until the UFC fight ended, and then they decided to put their fight on, which I thought was very weak. Because if you got a big name, a supposedly big name like Carnelo, then Carnelo is supposed to carry your network. So I know Ice had some things to say about that, but I'm gonna go to Black because you didn't get a chance to say anything. What are your? I know you probably didn't see the fight, but what do you think about some of the comments I made?
No, well, I think it's realistic, man, because if you look at the popularity, boxing just doesn't care it anymore. And I know that, you know, we are kind of like diehards when it comes to boxing because we grew up watching it and liking it. But for the most part, man, UFC has been grinding. They've been working. They've been promoting. They've been out there. They've been hammering. And for the most, it doesn't look sometimes, I guess with UFC, who wins, what you see most of the time they win. And boxing has been so many times you sit through, and it still goes on to this day, you sit through 12
Saturday.
Rounds, and at the end of the you sit through 12 rounds, and at the end of the fight, somebody wins, and you look and go, are they lying to me? I just see what I see. And I think boxing has just played with people way too much. And I think one of the biggest punches boxers took that no one really talks about is that when the build-up of Pacquiao and Mayweather, when they fought and that fight was a sleeper and they were out there joking and laughing like they're playing golf, it turned a lot of people off on boxing, man. I mean, I'm not the diehard that I used to be, but a lot of diehards kind of turned their back and they turned and they found other things. And I've been saying it for a while, man. I think boxing is WWE. I thought boxing was kind of favoring WWE anyway. So I'm not surprised, man. I'm not surprised. I think, you know, hearing what you're saying, I think they were scared to be embarrassed. I think it was going to be embarrassed. They started at the same time. They weren't going to have the audience. And they knew it. And they was afraid to be embarrassed. So that's why they ran chicken and did what they did, because they realized that as a draw now, when it comes down to it, they're not it anymore. They're just not. But I got another topic I want to bring up, you know, if you want to go to it. But that's my response to it.
I want to let Ice respond to this, because I'm associating Golden Boy Productions with The Fix Is In. Every time I see Golden Boy Productions now, I'm going to say The Fix Is In. Because you can't tell me in the undercard, the young cat who's supposed to be Carnelo's friend swings over the head of the guy, and the guy falls on the ground having convulsions like he got hit with a bolo. And then Kovalov, the way he fought, just pawing at Canelo, not throwing any kind of meaningful punches, and then lays down in the 11th round. I'm like, this is really bad. This is really bad for boxing. And they're making it sound like Canelo is now going to take a step up and dominate the light heavyweight division, get Andre Ward in, get some of the heavyweights. And I'm like, this is the biggest sham since, you know, the Three Stooges. But your response to what Black said and what I said, man. Can't hardly hear you, bro. Are you underwater?
Yeah, hold on.
Aqua Boogie,
oh,
baby.
Man.
You underwater? Okay. I hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
No, you're still under, man. Call back, and then me and Black will go to this topic, then we'll come back to this. All right, Black, you had another topic, man?
Yeah, it's something I heard today, man, and I was kind of floored when I heard it, and I didn't really, after I heard it, I kind of looked around, I didn't see anywhere else, but this, there's a bill, you know, there was a bill passed in California where give college players to have to own the right to their likeness and stuff of that nature. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Other states were doing a North Carolina draft up a bill. But this bill here that's being drafted, it has been drafted in the state of New York, will give college players, if they play in New York for any university, they are to get 15% of the profit of the game that they're playing, 15% of the merchandise that's being sold at the university. And they're entitled 15. To health care, 15%. And they're going to be entitled to health care benefits while they're playing and once they leave the university, especially if they get hurt.
Wow. Wow.
That's kicking the door in, bro.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
That's kicking the door in. That's kicking. That bill passed in New York. Now, you probably say it's not a lot of big schools here in New York for all the sports. But that bill passed New York, the NCAA is in trouble, bro. They're in trouble
yeah,
they're gonna be
because
they're too far behind.
Because,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because a lot of people don't think about it. Like in college football, they're getting concussions too.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything about it. They just think it's an NFL thing. No, college and high school, they're getting concussions
yes.
too, and nobody – they're ignoring it. So some of these kids are coming in the league that have been concussed and damaged already. And so this is really huge. This is really huge. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, and I was just saying because it's going to get to the point where if this passed in New York, the Feds are not too far behind, bro. The Feds are not too far behind. And I've been saying this for a while. NCAA is under attack. They've been dragging their feet. The Roosters are ready to come home and roost, bro. It's going to come home and roost. And it's just too much. You watch them make too much money, and they've been playing around, and I think it's coming, bro. I think it's coming. I mean, this is the most deep one I heard so far. And the guy was reading it, I was like, yes. And the reason why you're not hearing it, who's going to put that out there? Fox Sports going to tell you that? ESPN Sports going to tell you that? Why? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because they're in bed with NCAA. But if that goes through, more likely it will in the state of New York. You can't tell me other states aren't going to follow and the Feds may not pick that up.
Ice, you still there, man?
Can you hear me better now, man?
Much better, man. Black just broke some news, man. Black, can you talk about what you just broke and see if Ice has heard about it and get his response from it?
Yeah, I was saying that. We know that California passed a bill for college players to be able to own their likeness. But there's a bill now. There's other states that are passing their own individual bills. Kind of similar to what, and some of them a little deeper than what California did, but I came across where the state of New York, quietly, no one's really talking about it, they have a bill drafted that's moving through to be passed where if you play a college sport in the city, or I'm not sorry, the state of New York at a school, no matter if you're the best player or whatever, you are to get 15% of the earning profits that the school earned from that sport. You get 15% of the merchandise that is sold from that sport. And you get health care benefits while you're there and beyond. And if you basically at some point If you're hurt to where you can no longer play the sport and you have to and you leave school, the school must pick up your health care beyond what goes on and after you graduate and leave the university.
Your response?
I have not heard about that bill, but I'm not surprised that they're trying to do that. I do want to see that now because when you threw the schools in there, when you talked about the likeness, which normally comes off from apparel companies and things like that, who actually will be paying the money, that's one thing. But when they throw the schools in there, that's a whole different ball game. And I think it's going to be a lot. The NCAA, in my opinion, will throw a lot of shade up to try to block something without them being at the table to decide how high it goes. And it's not to say that it cannot happen, but when you start saying they have to give up so much money or they got to cover them insurance-wise and some other benefits, then they're employees. It changes the whole game. It's similar to what Northwestern was trying to do. The Northwestern players tried to unionize. It's very similar.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think it's going to take some time. Is it possible? It may happen, but it's going to take a collective group of players, which it would do. They would have to do along with some other folks saying enough with the NCAA. Do I see that possibly in the future? Yes, I do. But I just want to see how this develops. I'm not saying no, but it's a hell of a journey to get that passed on the books.
Let's just say this. It doesn't take that much to get it passed in the state of New York. It just doesn't. But let's move forward to being passed. Let's just go forward. Okay, being passed. You're not going to tell me. Let's say New York just has that. They adopt that and it gets passed in New York. You're not going to tell me that players in high school aren't going to look at this. Top-tier players in high school aren't going to come play for New York schools.
No, I agree with that. But we're talking about this. We're talking about the colleges. That's the point I'm making. I agree with you 100%. But when you throw that thing in about colleges would have to, the NCAA or the colleges would have to cover insurance.
Not the NCAA. The college will be responsible.
But still, the colleges are going to have to do that. The colleges is going to have to pay. You know how much?
Yes.
We know how much money the colleges make off of that. To pay insurance, the likeness thing, 100% green light. But now you're going to tell the schools you got to pay this. To me, that's a lawsuit.
But if it's a bill, how is it a lawsuit? If it's a bill that passed and becomes law in the state of New York.
If it's a policy, yeah.
Here's what I'm saying to you. You say it's a bill that's going to pass. There's legislature. There's schools that have to adhere to that. And there's a lot of stuff going on with that. That's all I'm saying. I don't think they go along without a fight. I don't think you just automatically, we're going to pass this without the schools being involved. Because you're asking them to pay the money. That's what I'm saying.
I just think this. It's my personal opinion. I think there's a groundswell that's going on in this country where people are just tired of seeing the NCAA make all this money and kids are not making it, man. I mean, I think they just heard it enough to where, I mean, a lot of people feel different because we look at some people don't think players should make this and that scholarship. But the momentum and the tide is turning. You can't tell me with all these states drafting these bills out of nowhere. What makes New York decide to put this bill together? When you think about it, what made California, what made North Carolina, all these states, why are they individually just all of a sudden now saying, you know what, enough is enough? There's a groundswell. And for folk, I mean, I'm just going to say this. If people can stand and talk about, it can't happen, wait 5 years and see what happens. It's coming. The days are coming. Because realistically, we know it. These people have seen these kids are being taken advantage of. It's labor. It's damn. I hate to use the word slave, but it's labor that they're putting their hard sweat and tears out there. You got these coaches making all these millions, and they're tired of it. They're tired. And then you got a coach like Nick Saban making $8 million, complaining about players and all that stuff. People are tired. I mean, they're not going to the streets. They're going to the law books, bro. The law books. It's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. It is. And they don't have themselves to blame.
If I can respond to that.
Sure.
I don't think that it's not – I'm not saying it's not coming to an end. But when we put stuff out there, some people act like it's going to happen in 2 years, 3 years. That's not going to be the case. Do I agree with you? The NCAA is making a lot of money. He's been doing that for years. It's the reason why Ed O'Bannon did what he did when they were making all that money using their likenesses on the game. A lot of people saw that being as simple or simplistic, like that wasn't a big deal because they got, what, $10 each or something like that. But it started the journey, as you mentioned, about the swelling of people moving around, making things, making differences, even from a legislative standpoint. My only thing is, it's going to take some time. Do I think it should happen? Yes. I've said for a long time that you're only good as your last game. They use the players. Once you're injured, nobody gives a damn about you. I get all that. I've always been a large proponent. I've written articles. I wrote a paper about even in graduate school talking about the exploitation of black athletes. I said that over and over. Patrick Ewing comes in, the Georgetown makes $4 million for 4 years. When he gets there, they end up with $32 million over 4 years. It is not anything that is something that is just a secret or nobody knows about it, but it continues to grow. People have to continue to stand up and get it done. I agree with you 100%. I'm not fighting your argument, but they have to stand up. It has to come, and I'm just wondering how long is it going to take? Because we got a lot more people talking stuff, and they need to be doers. And I just think it's going to take a little longer than what we think. But I do agree that there's probably some headway taking place at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. This is my first time hearing about the policy, but it seems like everybody is kind of scratching and clawing to get recruits to come to their particular state and their university or colleges if they want to play athletic. And the more that a player can get, I think the more enticed they will be to go and get that what the university has to offer. And so I think that answers your question, Black. A lot of states and a lot of universities are putting pressure on their legislators and say, listen, we got to do something to keep ourselves afloat in this changing time with the NCAA. And so if we don't get ahead of this, then we'll be behind. We won't have any programs worth anything and no recruiting power. So I think these states are really kind of jockeying the position to see who can get the best recruiting power and to grab some of these phenoms. Because I think this also started, guys, where I'm sorry to sound like Booger McFarland, guys, when a lot of players started going overseas and playing ball. Started going overseas to Australia and stuff playing ball, and they're losing these players. And so I think they're seeing that, too. What can we offer them to keep them here at home and keep our revenue up and keep our financial flow going here in this country? So I think you're going to see a lot of states coming up with different things to try to really kind of sweeten the pot, so to speak. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about before we get to our NFL picks? Ice? Black?
Oh, hell yeah. We're not done. We ain't done with that boxing.
Oh, with the boxing?
Man.
Oh, yeah. Give it up. I know what I saw Saturday.
I thank Black Thor for bringing up that great subject, because it makes people think, and Lord knows we love having a good debate. But we got another one with this boxing thing. First of all, let me just say this. We're not going to be on this too long. I understand about what you mentioned about Golden Boy and them kind of seem as they're fixing fights or things are just too easy. But I'm going to just say this. I think that's just one faction of it, one group. D-A-Z-N, Golden Boy, and perhaps Canelo. Steven Espinosa, the president of Showtime Sports, he's not doing that.
No.
He's not doing that.
No.
And it's a reason why he did well when they finally got Floyd Mayweather. Love him or hate him, Floyd Mayweather was the attraction. I don't give a damn what you was doing. If you was whatever, most people that watch sports, they was in there, man, I got to watch Mayweather win, lose, draw, because I hate him or I love him. So Showtime would never change that. I think the inexperience of the management over at DAZN, because they're trying to get monthly subscribers. They're trying to get people to give them $10 a month so they can watch their service. Showtime's not doing that. They coming in, we have the best product, as you mentioned, and we're going for the juggler. So I think you have one entity that really has shown their cards, and I think you, I don't know how long, and they gave Canelo a bunch of money, and they can't recoup that without people watching, and I don't know why they feel they needed to do what they did. But I just think that's one area. I don't see Steven Espinoza doing that, and along with knowing that he has the stable of boxers that they do, and they have all of the top-notch fighters. You would not see Errol Spence Jr. Fighting Terrence Crawford, and they say we're gonna hold up because they gotta
gonna hold up an hour.
Fight. Yeah, hell no. Are you kidding me? You know what money that is? Nah. So that's one group that doesn't know what the hell they're doing running their company, considering that they have Ron Artest on there talking about being a boxing expert,
talking to everybody. They could have been in the stands. They were pulling people, putting the mic in their face, buying up time, trying to get. Man, that was so ridiculous.
It shows me right then and there that they have true inexperience. They have a bunch of money. They don't know what to do with it, and they don't have enough people with that have enough understanding of the sport what to do. So that alone showed you they're trying to fill time, and they're bringing anybody else that will come up, any actors or hell. No disrespect, I know Ron Artest is spending money with boxers, but I think my opinion about boxing is about the same as good as his. But I'm just saying, hell, I'd have been a lot cheaper. But and all you do is fly me out there. But the whole point of it is, I think that is inexperience of DAZN, and I don't see Showtime doing that and buying down to that, because Showtime, when they come out, it's pay-per-view. Unless you got a good fire stick. Other than that, they don't make any concessions. They're not. UFC comes along with a couple of good fights here and there. It's not what it used to be. When you really look at it, Conor McGregor's no more, longer there. It's not just the same. They don't have a superstar. You think about Ronda Rousey moving on. It's just not what it was. And Cyborg and all that too. So it's not the same. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you this. Until boxing comes up with a title called the baddest motherfucker on the planet, UFC is number one. Because
They came out
and they weren't playing. They weren't playing. And they commanded the television views at that particular point. These dudes went at it. And just like Black said earlier, in UFC, you know, there is no doubt I haven't seen too many UFC fights where, that fight got stolen from that guy. Either you get knocked out, choked out, something like that, and you know who the clear winner is. But you have no clue.
Hey, let me say this real quick, and this is just my opinion. Don't go give Dana White and them all that damn credit. That was Nate Diaz, brother. They came up with the idea about the bad motherfucking belt. That's the problem. Let's give credit where it's due. That was Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz
is the show, okay? So let's not – he couldn't get a fight for 3 years. Nate Diaz brings it. He talks it, and he gets in the ring. I would pay to see Nate Diaz. So let's not give Dana White and the cushy little UFC too much damn credit. Let's give it up where it belongs. Nate Diaz is the card king, baddest mother on the planet. And if he loses, he tells you, and he said, all right, I'll see you in the parking lot in a week, and I'm going to whoop your ass. That's how he is. That's what he's going to see.
Boy, if I didn't have a 5-6 black, I'd pay to see these two fight again. This fight was worth it. It was only three rounds.
Yeah, it was.
This fight was worth it.
He had his eye hanging all out and almost in the third round. And dude, and the other guy, the one that won, says it was a medical boss. He says, man, I have knocked out more people with them damn punches. He said, that dude is an animal. He was like, I'm ready for round four. He had said, shit, I'm just getting warmed up. He said, that's not too much damage in the fourth, fifth round. He said, so what? Well, all right. Cut me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was ready to go. And you know about Nate Diaz, round four and five are usually the rounds that he owns. Those are the rounds that he just I mean, I'd watch them. I hope they fight very soon, because these guys put it on the line. And it made me not even – it left a poor taste in my mouth after watching their fight, Masvidal and Diaz, and then going to the Canelo Kovalev fight and being disappointed like that, with Kovalev just petting and pawing at Canelo and not really hitting him. It's almost like, don't hurt our fighter. We got another fight coming up, you know, next year. So don't hurt him. Don't put any marks on him. Just make it look good. Let's carry it out to 12 rounds and give people their money's worth. Because the other fight went one round. The commentator, this guy literally swung over the guy's head. I don't know if you saw it. Swung over the guy's head. The guy fell down in the first round. And the commentator had the nerve to say it was an accumulation of punches that he fell down from from those other punches that he fell down and got knocked out.
No, I did not see it. Notice when I text you, you asked me was I watching boxing or something like that, and I said, no, I'm watching UFC. I'm waiting to the last.
Right. And that's when I turned over. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. Come back with the NFL pick. Right here on Blue Squad.
She's here, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, thank you very much. Granny, they're expecting you. You're a little late, so come right this way. Right in, okay?
What? Say it now.
Yes.
Say it now. Yes. Me and the Ohio Player's gonna tell you about a worm. He's the funkiest worm in the world. Okay, say it, fellas.
There's a worm in the ground, yes it is.
That's right.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Black Pop had a message for you. He said, just because you were in second place, don't be talking trash because you just pulled your nuts from the sand. I was up under my couch when he told me that.
That's third place talk right there, baby. Third place talk.
Let's look at the standings. It's Team Puma. I had an 11-3 record last week. Black Thor had a 10-4 record last week.
Yeah,
and Pop
boy.
And Ice had a 9-5 record. So the totals, I'm at 94-40-1. Black Thor is at 85-49-1. Pop is at 84-50-1. And Ice Water is at 81-53-1. And the pick order changes. Ice Water goes first. Pop goes second. I go third. And Black is going last, so he's going to look at everybody else's pick, and he's going to maneuver what he's going to pick. I know this is how it works.
You happy now, Black? You happy? You've been quiet for 3 weeks. You happy
seems
now?
Seems like everybody going last with me.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah,
let's go.
You've been
crying
for 3 weeks.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right. The first game on tap. First game on tap is a Thursday night game with Los Angeles Chargers versus the Oakland Raiders. Ice, who you got?
Oh, man. I'm going with the Chargers, man, on the road.
Going with the Chargers?
Yep.
All right. Pop is going with Oakland. He's going with Oakland at home. I'm going with the Chargers. Who you got, Black?
Yeah, Chargers showed me something on Sunday by changing offensive coordinator that their offense started moving. Plus, it's the time of year they start winning some games. I'm going to take the Chargers. Even though I think the Raiders might take this, I'm going to take the Chargers.
All right. Next game on tap is Arizona at Tampa Bay. Ice, who you got?
Woo! Tough game. Tough game. Don't know. Black, who should I take, man?
Help him out, Black.
Yeah, help me out, Black.
He's four games behind, man.
You know what? It don't matter. You know what? I'm like you. I'm swinging from the fences, except I'm using an aluminum bat. Anyway, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay at home. They've been scoring a lot of points, and Arizona's been struggling. I think that's going to be hard for them to get on the road. So I'm going with Tampa.
All right. Pop is going with Tampa, too. You go with the home team. I'm going with Arizona. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa. Even though they lost last week, man, Jameis played pretty good. They put some points up on the scoreboard. I think they're at home. Arizona just doesn't play four quarters yet. They only play a quarter, and they take three off. So, Tampa Bay.
All right. Next game on tap is Atlanta versus New Orleans. Drew Brees came back last week, and he showed out, man. I thought that he should stay out a little bit, but he came back. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, they have two quarterbacks now. I mean, knowing that Bridgewater is there, if something happens to Brees, they'll be okay. Atlanta, who knows, with Matty Ice, although their quarterback tried to do a little something, start moving the ball, reminds me almost like Cam Newton. Anyway, but I'm going to go with New Orleans at home.
All right. Papa's going with New Orleans at home. I'm also going with New Orleans. Black, who you got?
Easy pick, Saints at home, baby.
Yeah, Saints across the board. Next game on tap, picked the upset special last week. Me and Black picked Baltimore to beat New England. They came through. They came through. Lamar Jackson showing that he had even Polian apologizing today. They said, I should never
said
he should play a wide receiver.
Why, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Hear that.
Yeah,
he apologized
for
that.
He said that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. I didn't forget when he said that when he came out. And Ozzie Newsome made a fool out of all of them, picking Lamar Jackson.
Thank you.
And they built that offense around him, and they had the New England defense in a flux. Ice, who you got?
Ooh.
Yeah, Cincinnati has a new quarterback. A.J. Green might come back this week. I doubt it. I'm going with Baltimore on the road.
All right, Baltimore on the road. I hope they don't let down. Pop is going with Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore, too. After beating New England, I hope they don't let down and let Cincinnati grab them, you know, kind of living in the glory of beating the New England Patriots, the defending champion. So, got to go with Baltimore. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Baltimore, too. But I'm kind of glad you said that earlier about Poland, because I was ready for fit to clown him seriously because, he was the one that came out and said it. And this cat here, man, is lighting the NFL up. Don't look at his numbers. Just look at what he's doing. He's lighting the NFL up. So, but, yeah, I'll take the Ravens.
All right. Next game on tap is Buffalo versus Cleveland. I picked Cleveland last week, and they disappointed me. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, Cleveland at home, at some point you think they're going to turn it around. They should. But I talked a lot of stuff about him. I put him down. I didn't think he was the real deal, the quarterback at Buffalo. But and their defense has the capability of doing something. So, wow. Buffalo on the road.
All right. Papa's going with Cleveland at home. I'm going with Buffalo, too, because Buffalo, between the two teams, I look at Buffalo making less mistakes. Cleveland is just not disciplined enough to win football games. Penalties, doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. You got all this talent, and you just can't pull out a game. And so I saw it last week when they had chances, but they're just not there. They're just not there. And you got Baker Mayfield missing reads. And, you know, you had Odell Beckham streaking down the left side of the field, and you don't throw the ball at him and get your playmaker to make a play in a crucial point in the game. I was very disappointed. So I'm going with Buffalo. They're more consistent. They're 6-2. I'm going with Buffalo. Black?
It's a tough one there, man. Real tough, because I'm not impressed with Buffalo. I know they're 6-2, but I'm just not impressed with them. At the same time, I'm much less impressed with the Cleveland Browns because, they, like you said, they miss a lot of open opportunities throughout the season. They should be better than what they are. And for some reason, man, he just won't pound the ball with Chubbs. I don't get it. So for that reason alone, I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills.
All right. Next game on tap is Detroit at Chicago. Ice, Chi-Town, baby.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, Chi-Ill, I should have taken him none of y'all take him. But it's just nasty over there. They don't score a lot of points. I don't know what's going on. Their defense was capable, but they haven't showed up the last couple weeks. And nothing else. Detroit can't score at times. Quarterback has been known to throw for at least 300 yards a week. So I'm going to take Detroit on the road.
All right. Pop is going with Detroit. I'm going to go with Detroit. I saw the game last week with Chicago. Chicago, I think, had 40-plus plays, offensive plays. The other team had 70, over 70-plus plays. That tells me that that defense is on the field a lot, and you can't do anything when you're tired. Tired makes fatigue makes cowards of us all, as a coach said one time, long time ago to me. Taking Detroit, the road warrior this week. Black?
Javinsky, I saw him on TV today saying that he wants to turn all the TVs off or put headphones on, not listen to the noise. I was like, no, what you need to do is to play better. That's what you need to do, learn how to play quarterback. I'm thinking this with this one, man. Seriously. Like, what they're saying is wrong, bro. What are you talking about? Detroit, bro.
Yeah, they were taking all the accolades and people were giving them praise. Now, all of a sudden, we don't want to hear it. Okay. This is the mm-hmm. business you're in. This is the business you're in. Next game on tap is Kansas City versus Tennessee. Ice, who you got?
Not sure if Mahomes is playing. They're trying to get him ready, but I don't think it matters. Tennessee is they're so up and down. I still like what Kansas City has to work with. I'm going to go with Kansas City on the road.
All right. Pop is going with Mahomes. He said that he thinks Mahomes is going to play. I agree with him. I'm going with Kansas City. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I don't think he's playing, but I'm still going to take Kansas City, man. I wouldn't play him against Tennessee. There's no need to play him against Tennessee. I'm taking on Kansas City anyway, though.
Okay, when you saw Kansas City kick that field goal last week, did you see Mahomes running out on the field?
Yeah,
but that's...
I saw
nobody
that.
Was chasing.
He's playing, bro.
Nobody was chasing him, bro. Nobody was chasing him.
He looked like he had a bad leg to me. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah, nobody.
So if he can run out that field and grab the kicker, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Next game on tap is New York Jets. Oh, boy. New York Giants versus the New York Jets. Ice, who you got?
Oh, man, this is bad. This is bad football. Anyway, bad football. Watch out for the black cats. Anyway.
Yeah. Everything was fine until the black cat. Yep.
Yeah. Everybody, hey, look, I love the black cat. I always been down. I was like, look at that black cat. Run. Anyway. I'm going to go with the Giants. It's not really on the road because it's the same freaking stadium. I'm going to take the Giants.
Yeah. All right, Pop is going with the Giants. I'm going with the Giants. Kind of changing my mind on Jones, man, because I'm looking at the brother over there, Washington Black, and I'm looking at Jones, and I'm like, okay, maybe the Giants, maybe they made the best decision at this particular point. So who you got?
Yeah, I think so, man. He needs to be doing what he's doing now, make some mistakes, learn from it, and, I think they made the right choice. Interesting enough, man, word around here is that this Gates might be a one and done. It's going to be interesting to see. I won't be surprised that he's fired after the end of the season, head coach of the New York Jets. But I'm taking the Giants to take this one.
Dude, I thought they were going to fire him right after the Miami game, to be honest with you. I thought they were going to fire him right there. Next game on tap is Miami versus Indianapolis. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I cannot believe Vinatieri missed that damn kick. Oh, my goodness. That was horrible.
I turned. I thought the kick was – I'm like, okay, they lost.
Oh.
Man. That hurt right there. That lets me know I don't know a damn thing about football this year. I don't know a damn thing about football. Anyway, but I got to still keep picking. Anyway, so I'm going to take Indianapolis at home because I think they're going to get them a new kicker. They're going to put it out of the kicker's hand. And the other thing that hurt them, too, is the fact that Brissett went out because that pick six, that 96-yard touchdown was just ridiculous. Anyway, interception. So, still going with Indianapolis.
All right. Pop is going with Indianapolis. I'm going with the home team, Indianapolis. Black, who you got?
They got to cut that kicker, man. They got to cut him. He's 42 years old. He's not consistent anymore. Stop playing around living off yesteryears, man. Cut him. They should have cut him 4 or 5 weeks ago when he was making bad kicks. Yeah, before to retire.
Laces were there, man.
He missed the kick earlier, man. He missed the extra point early. I don't give a damn about no laces, bro. He's done. He's 42. He's done. I mean, stop putting him out there. Atlanta finally cut their 45-year-old kicker. Come on, man. You got these college kids and kicks much better. These college kids can kick the laces and get it through. I'm sorry.
Can
right
I say one
that.
Thing real quick? Can I say one thing real quick?
Go ahead.
They had enough time where the damn kicker, Vinatieri, could have said, hey, man, that's the wrong way. Turn it back the other way. He still could have kicked it. That's how much time he had.
Yeah. The game was won.
No,
I turned the TV.
Yes.
I'm like, Pittsburgh lost.
Yes,
this one. That's
it should
it.
Have been. Yes, it should have been over. But I'm going to take the Colts anyway, Mika. Only because, I mean, Miami, you know, they pulled up a win last week. And they're going to battle some. But beyond what happened to the Colts last week, they are a well-coached team. They are very well-coached, man. I like the way they're coached. And they battle. They battle hard. They fight. And they fight to them. But I'm going to take the Colts.
All right. Next game on tap is Carolina at Green Bay. And the rumors keep getting louder and louder and louder. This might be Cam's last season with the Carolina Panthers. They put him on the IR. Ice, who you got on this one?
Yeah, Carolina might be feeling good. McCaffrey probably go off, but Aaron Rodgers gave us that little subtle speech. We got taken by the woodshed. So that means they're gonna be ready to play. I'm taking Green Bay at home.
Yeah, yeah. Papa's taking Green Bay at home and Lambeau. I'm taking Green Bay also. But if they don't get McCaffrey under wraps, they're going to be in for a long day.
Blackie, it's going to be a shootout, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm taking Green Bay. But I said this weeks ago, man, Cam is not – I don't think he's ever putting on a Panthers uniform. I didn't say it to that extent. But now they put him on IR, he's not putting on a uniform anymore, man. He's not. This cat is due $19 million next year. They're going to cut him and take a $2 million hit. And they're moving on, man. Because there were stories that yet to have been told, but they were dealing with Cam Newton, well, stuff he's been doing behind the scenes. And I think they're tired of him. I think they're simply tired of him. I mean, going up to the podium and all that stuff, come on, bro. That can't be your leader. It just can't be. I mean, dressing that way,
yeah.
Acting that way, that cannot be your leader, bro. At some point, that if you're winning and you're doing that, people will tolerate. When you're losing and you're doing that, it wears thin, bro. It's wears thin. I think this team, I think they made the decision weeks ago to move on from him.
They say that he's due $21 million. If they cut him, they save $2 million. Yeah, they say $19 million. I think $19 million.
Yeah,
if they
yeah,
cut him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think by the end of the season, if they find another quarterback or they have some other prospects, I think that that he's gone. And there's some people here talking about they're bringing him to Chicago. I'm like, you don't want Cam, and you don't want Eli because they're desperate to get a quarterback here. And they don't have draft picks. And I'm like, those are the two you just don't touch. Cam and Eli, you don't want them here. They're not going to help you. Next game on tap is the Los Angeles Rams. I think they had a bye week last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're at home. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, it's all well and good. What I find ironic is the Rams are finding ways to win, and they're using it. When you're looking at Gurley, they're using like all kind of different running backs to get the job done, and they're coming together in defense. And I think Pittsburgh know they got away with some BS. So, yeah, not this week. Not this week, my friend. Rams on the road.
All right. Papa's going with Pittsburgh at home against the Rams. He doesn't
wow.
believe in the Rams.
Awesome.
I'm going with the Rams.
Caught up in the Rams. That Kool-Aid.
They had a bye week. Maybe. Or that young lady. I don't know. Either one of the two.
She's from Pittsburgh.
I have no idea. But, you know, when your nose is that wide open, you just make some kind of crazy pick sometimes. So
we just jealous that you popped that song. No fans don't mind. I'm jealous as hell.
Let's just take it and move on.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, I'm hating. I think I should do
Pittsburgh
now. Okay, I got the Rams.
Hey, Zach,
what you got?
Do me a favor. Next time you tell your pop, tell him I said stop letting him make his picks for him. Anyway, I'm taking. I'm gonna take the Rams.
Oh man. Next game on tap is Minnesota versus Dallas. All right, so you got?
Wow. Woo, tough one. You don't know who's going to play, what's going on. Minnesota really disappointed me. I thought they were going to win last week, and they just didn't get it done. With Thielen, I think he's out. I think that's going to hurt them. Probably be a shootout. So I'm going to take Dallas at home.
All right. Pop is, of course, taking Dallas. I wasn't really impressed with Dallas's game, especially in the first half against the Giants. The Giants are not a good team, and it seemed like Dallas was struggling with them. And so with that being said, I'm going to take Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota, and hopefully they can bounce back. Minnesota has to prove that they are the beast in the NFC, and if they want to make that playoff run, they got to beat a team like Dallas. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I am like you, man. I didn't watch the game, but just looking at the highlights and kind of reading the tea leaves, I wasn't impressed. Even though Dallas won, I wasn't impressed with the way they played the Giants, and I won't be impressed with the way they played Minnesota. Even if Kirk Cousins doesn't show up, I think the running back of the Vikes can get this done. I'm going to take the Vikings, man.
Okay. All right, and the last game on tap is a Monday. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a real good game. Seattle versus San Francisco. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, this is tough. You know, I love Russell Wilson, the way he plays, and they've been playing decent. But it's hard to choose against San Francisco at home. I think their defense is going to come. It's going to take an extraordinary game from Russell Wilson, and I'm not sure if that's possible. So I'm going to take San Francisco at home.
All right, Pop is taking San Francisco. I like the heart that Seattle has, but they seem to be grinding too much in these games. And sometimes you got to win easily and show your superiority against a team. And I haven't seen them do that this season. But I have seen San Francisco do that. And so just by San Francisco being at home, I'm going to select San Francisco on the Monday night. Black, who you got?
It's funny because the 49ers' defense really didn't show up last week like they used to. And Jimmy G kind of played well. But like you said, Seattle kind of – they fight hard to win these games, man. It's not easy for them. And they seem to like it that way. But that front seven of San Fran, I think, is going to get after Russell. They're going to basically box him in and get after him, and I'm going to take the 49ers to win this for that reason.
All right. Those are our picks. Black, I know you got to go. You got any parting shots before you leave?
I'm just going to say, man, it won't start this week, but probably next week. I'm going to be coming. The band is getting ready. They're playing a different version of Black Thor's coming. We'll premiere it next week.
get set for that premiere. It's week 10, bro. It's week 10. You keep warming up the band. It's week 10.
Hey, Black Thor, FYI. Look, I told you, I already know my fate. But FYI, I don't know if you noticed, Puma is getting very, very comfortable with his picks. He turned into Canelo in boxing. He started to pick very carefully. He's taking those picks. I don't know if you noticed that. He's being very safe with his picks. Okay.
I know it just doesn't matter. That's all.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm with you. But you know what? You won't come to the reality of it either. But that's all right. So I hope your band is paid because you can afford to pay them. It's all good. Because you ain't going to do it with your winnings. Anyway, moving on. Have a good night.
It's like that band on the, it's like that band on the movie Titanic. They're going to play it to the ship sink.
Look, hey, so also, too, if you hire an HBCU band, man, please pay the band. Don't short the band.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and talk some NCAA football and some NBA basketball right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
I got love for the game, that's why I rhyme and always stay in the booth. Never lying to the people, always telling the truth. I feel the bass in my chest to give power to songs. Girl ripping when I'm home, about the hours I'm gone. I can't help it, the studio with Paul B. at. Tried to walk away from it, but it caught me back. Forget my pride, bitch, I even quit my job. For the one that I love to work,
music. Recognized I'm an artist and spilling my game. Put my heart on the track and have you feeling my pain. Seen a lot of hard times on the way to success. When I'm mad, writing a rhyme is my way to express. Laid back and fall deep in the verse. If I was out in the street, yeah, I'd probably lay sleep in the hearse. It's nothing like when you on the mic tearing the track. Then you come from out the booth and start hearing it back. Everybody there love the sound. That's why they give you hugs and pounds. Now you know you was spitting it. You got the whole run vibing the same. You ain't doing this for watches and chains. You got love for the game.
Welcome back to the Blue Block Sports Radio Podcast. It's Puma along with Ice Water. We're going to finish up the show. Got about 40 minutes left in the show. We're going to talk some sports. I'm sitting here watching Ohio State versus Cincinnati. They're battling back and forth in the second half. But just got a chance to watch North Carolina play against Notre Dame. And Cole Anthony, man, he's going to be exciting to watch, bro. He's the truth. He is the truth. You want to say a little bit about college basketball? Well, before we get to college football and some of the games coming up this week.
Yeah, I knew you was going to bring that up about Ohio State. Of course, they were down at halftime in Columbus, but they seem to be trying to make a move on Cincinnati. Yeah, Cole Anthony is special. They scored that many points versus Notre Dame tonight, stepping this game up. I think we're going to have a very interesting season. I'm excited about it. You just never know with Memphis playing the way that they are, a lot of other teams returning. And one thing I will say about this Ohio State team, Cincinnati's always going to play real hard. Ohio State plays next week. They play Villanova in Columbus.
Wow.
And I think I might actually watch that in person. But they're playing a lot of teams. I think they play Kentucky, play a few other teams.
Mm.
So they're getting ready for the tournament and not sure what's going to happen. But they play a lot of good teams this year. Some of them even on the road with the big tournaments. And I think that's going to help them down the line as they get ready for the postseason or try to get in the postseason.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking at these teams and looking at the rankings and gotten a chance to see a sneak peek of some of the rosters and some of these teams that played. And to me, there's no clear favorite that you could say, okay, this team is definitely going to make the Final Four, or this team is going to be a number one seed. You could say a little bit about Kentucky, but I want to kind of – they only had one game, even though it was against number one. I don't think Michigan State is a clear number one to me. I think they did that because of Cassius Watson being an All-American and some of the guys that were turning back and Coach Izzo, his reputation. But Kansas, to me, again, we said in the first 40, their big men are soft to me. They have no heart. Their guards have more heart than – their backcourt has more heart than the front line. You can't have that. You got to have – there's some big guys that Kansas have, and they're not nasty enough inside to me to kind of carry that high ranking. And Duke is, you know, a good defensive team. They play real hard. They have Jones and Stanley, that backcourt of Jones and Stanley. I think that's going to be – that served them well. They're asking Jones to do a lot more this year because they lost Redick, Williamson, and they lost R.J. Barrett. And so that's like with R.J. Barrett and Williamson, that's 45 points. So they got to get it from somewhere else. Like I said in the first 40, I'm loving Seton Hall and I'm loving Memphis right at this particular point. And I'm looking forward. Hopefully they'll have great seasons where folks can see them in the tournament, because that combination of Seton Hall that has Pyle and McKnight, those guards, you need great guard play in the tournament. Those guys are vets. They can turn it on whenever they want, and they ignite that team. They make everybody on their team better. And like I said on the first 40 also, Memphis reminds me of that Louisville team where they press you up the court and don't let you just kind of walk the ball up the court. And they can shoot threes, and they can run. And you can see Penny Hardaway just kind of saying, yeah, I got a team for you this year. Any other thoughts of some of the other teams in NCAA basketball?
Yeah, I'm going to throw your favorite team out there that you love. I think somebody – you might want to keep your eye on Louisville this year. I'm just saying. And they're bad coach over there. You might want to watch them. I think they have a little something. They have a lot to prove, and they're going to show you that they're worthy of being where they're ranked. So watch Louisville very closely.
Okay, let's kick it over to the NCAA football. We already talked on the first 40. If you missed the first 40, catch us on YouTube. You can see our radio faces on YouTube. And the sports heroes, superheroes, you can see us unveiled on YouTube on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. Each week we post it up on YouTube. Subscribe. We go at it just like we go at it on this podcast. But I'm looking at some of the games that I'm looking forward to. Of course, the Alabama LSU game. I like LSU. I've always kind of rooted for LSU as one of the teams in the SEC that I kind of follow. But after they beat Auburn, LSU, they didn't look like, to me, and just to me, I don't think that they could beat Alabama at Alabama. And people are saying, well, you don't know if Tua's playing. Tua's playing this game. This is a big-time game. This is a game to get you in the playoffs. If you lose this, you are out of the playoffs. So I think that's going to be a big-time game. The other big game, I know I want you to talk about a little bit too, is Penn State and Minnesota. Can Minnesota, and this is a hypothetical question, can Minnesota, who is undefeated, hang with Penn State just enough to upset Penn State? Clemson is going to keep rolling. You have Arizona against Oregon. You have Utah against UCLA. Can UCLA pull an upset? Iowa State plays really tough. So if Oklahoma is slipping, Iowa State can get them. You also have Auburn and Georgia. I think that's going to be a game that people shouldn't sleep on. And Baylor, who is number 12, they're 8-0. They play TCU. They have to win this game against TCU. SMU fell against Memphis last week, and I thought it was a shootout game. It got to the point where SMU was like, forget it, man. Y'all just take it. We can't hang with you anymore. And Memphis kept scoring. And so they move up in the rankings as number 21 with an 8-1 record, and SMU drops to 25th with an 8-1 record. Some of the games that I mentioned, will you be watching? And give us some little tidbits on what we should be watching and what we should be looking for in some of these games.
Yeah, well, you mentioned LSU and Alabama. The thing there is the factor that this is the proving ground for LSU. If they want the respect that they've been looking for years. You have now the quarterback you've been looking for. You're no longer stagnant on offense. And you have Joe Burrow transferred from The Ohio State University there. So here's your opportunity. This is their opportunity to move forward against the Alabama team with Tua could be in and out. He still may not be super healthy, but no more excuses. LSU really want to be stamp yourself in regards to the elite this year. This is their chance. So you need to watch that because they've been free-flowing on offense for the longest time. And the question is, does your defense show up enough? Or if they don't, can you outscore Alabama? And mm-hmm. That may be why Tua may be there. Can you do it? Regardless of the fact, you're going to have to earn that win. They're not going to give it to you. And Alabama on any day is very tough to beat. So LSU, it's on you. We'll see what happens. Penn State, Minnesota. This is, to me, Minnesota's first real test. They won a lot of games, take nothing from the fact that they're undefeated. It's a feel-good story about rocking the boat. Coach coming in from the smaller school in Michigan. But this is big time because Penn State has the ability with the wide receiver quarterback combination to really do damage. And their defense has really showed up the last couple weeks. And they are chomping at the bit because they don't want anything to interrupt their showdown with Ohio State. So I want to see what Minnesota, they received all the accolades, but Penn State is not coming in taking them lightly. They plan to try to take care of business and move forward. A couple other games I'm thinking about looking at would be, you mentioned about Baylor and TCU. The fact that that's just that Texas rivalry, TCU is a very good team. And they could catch Baylor slipping because they have a lot to play for, being number 12 in the nation. They might be thinking too much about whether or not what we can do to get to crack the top 10 or even higher. And that could be a problem. So we'll see how they play off of that. Another game I want to see is USC Arizona State. USC has been up and down this year, but Arizona State kind of got tapped last week or a couple weeks ago, and then we'll see if they bounce back. And another Big Ten matchup, Iowa versus Wisconsin. The loser has a major issue of trying to get some true respect, but the winner can put themselves in a position to try to be close to the edge as to trying to make a run in the conference. So on that other side of the ball. So it should be interesting there. So looking forward to Iowa.
Quick question.
Go ahead, Wisconsin.
What happened with Wisconsin, man? Because Wisconsin was like that team that we were like, okay, they're there. They're one of the Big Ten teams that could actually make a run at the playoffs.
Well, the thing is with Wisconsin, if we can be honest about it, Wisconsin really has not changed the way that they play football for years. And part of that is you play that kind of mud, mash mouth type of football. And the way that they were shocked before they played Ohio State, then that was a problem. And sometimes when they play such a old school, almost like Big Ten style, it hurts them because you shut down their bread and butter in regards to running the ball and the way they like to block and use the offensive line to kind of bully you, if you will. When they got upset, and then people were like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that!" Was it Illinois that beat them?
Yeah.
So that Illinois, and then they come to Ohio State and kind of just get shellacked. It's gonna be hard because I think the way that they play football, particularly from an offensive standpoint, has been exposed. So we'll see what happens. And Iowa needs to win just as well. It will be very difficult for Wisconsin to really be respected on that in that level again if they lose this football game. So, they started out well, but it's when you're on that other side, we know how this goes. When you're on that other side like Wisconsin and you can kind of flow through and you don't have to see Michigan, I mean, unless you have to play Ohio State, you have to play Ohio State, Michigan, and you get a break a little bit, then you can kind of go free-flowing. And then the other teams come from that other side, and they're able to – they've been tested. And here you come in, and oftentimes it turns into blowouts because they simply have not been tested. That's not the case this year, but that's why they're – I think they're sitting in the position where they are at this present time.
Okay. I interrupted you. Any other teams that you might want to check out this weekend?
No, that was probably it. I did want to just say, going back real quick, as we looked at things that happened in last week, was much love to Illinois for winning another game, even though it was against Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
Still had to be impressed by that win. The Willie Taggart era is over in Tallahassee. Something else there.
And
Lovey Mahady may not be winning a lot, but you got to take your hat off. Kudos to Mac Brown. Playing it close to the edge versus Virginia in a 38-31 loss. Regardless of the fact that they don't win a lot of games, Mac Brown is making a difference.
Yeah, he's turning that program around, and I think he's turning the culture around. I got on him earlier this season on how they almost blew a game. But there's some good football players in North Carolina, and it's a shame that North Carolina, the Tar Heels, haven't really produced a strong contender in the ACC in football, because there's some great athletes down there, high school phenoms down there, and I'm looking forward to him to kind of turn that culture around. So there's some games coming up this week. I'm going to be looking forward to it. And so there's your games. We're going to take a quick break, Ice, and then we're going to talk some NBA basketball, man, and what's been happening to the Golden State Warriors, bro. They're decimated with injuries, but this gives the young guys that they picked up a chance to play and learn about the NBA. We'll talk about that when we get back on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. If you miss any part of this show, you can always log right here to Blog Talk Radio, the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Been doing this for a few years. We got fans all over the globe, Russia, India, in Europe, in Ireland, in London, Australia. And I got to give shouts out to the folks at the Ambassador, the pub that I check out, the Rugby World Cup. South Africa won the Rugby World Cup. It was a great game against England. England took out my team, the New Zealand All Blacks, but we'll get back. It was an 18-year run that they had getting to the finals, but I think that took a lot out of England, and they just couldn't really kind of penetrate the green wall of the South Africans. So kudos to them. And all my new friends over at the Ambassador, I will be going by there in the future to watch some soccer games and also rugby games in the future. I met people from England, South Africa, New Zealand, any team that was playing. There are a lot of people here from countries all over the world, and learning more about the game. And man, if I had a chance, I would play rugby, bro. It's a man's sport. I'd play it. Rugby and soccer, some great fans. Let's talk some NBA basketball. Of course, the Warriors lost against the Rockets tonight, 129-112. The Knicks lost against the Pistons. But I'm looking at the standings, man, and to my surprise, I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns and Devin Booker. And Monty is over there. The coach over there is really doing a heck of a job with the Phoenix Suns. They don't even look like the same Phoenix Suns of the past. The Lakers are leading the Western Conference, and they're doing really well. LeBron is, I don't know if he's drinking out of the fountain of youth, but he had a triple-double, I think, in the last three games. Philly just lost their first game, and they lost it against Phoenix. Boston, Miami is playing really well. And so teams that you expected to be really good, like the Golden State Warriors, got decimated with injuries. And now the young kids are playing. They have a 2-5 record. Don't expect too much from them. And then we thought a lot was going to happen with New Orleans. Of course, Zion Williamson goes down. And so they're still trying to feel their way. They're in last place in the Western Conference. Give me your eye test, man, of the NBA so far, bro.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is going on. You mentioned about the Lakers, but how could you not think LeBron wasn't going to come back strong after sitting out last year and watching things at home and not making the playoffs after being injured and just being at home? So you know how he is. He simmers and gets ticked off, and he comes back strong. So I'm not surprised there. But you got to give it up to you mentioned Phoenix and Coach Monty. Williams has been we've been waiting for him to have the right opportunity, and this might be it.
Yeah,
they have a greater appreciation for him, and having that young talent like that, he knows how to play. He knows how to coach the game. He's been under some great coaches, and when he has the right opportunity, I think he's going to flourish. And I'm happy for him that it's happening right now. But you cannot take your eye off of Denver. Denver's starting to pick it up a little bit, and guess what? Who's healthy? Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, he's doing a little something over. He's helping that team out, and that's what they were waiting for him for a long time, and it finally happened. So kudos to them. The Clippers are not so pressed. They're not pressed at all. So they're playing Kawhi every other night. That's how good they
are. I was going to ask you a little bit later about that. How you felt about that? Because that ain't doing well with me at all.
Like, oh, you ain't got to play that. Oh, for real? All right, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's interesting to say. Like, Boston's coming around. They're 5-1. Mr. Hayward is showing this game, so they're starting to come together still as a team as well. So it's interesting. And Toronto was, Siakam is playing real well. So I'm interested in that. I'm going to throw something at you. I'm going to throw two things at you because there's a lot we can jump around to. But more players than it is anything. The Indiana Pacers, okay? We know that they're waiting on Oladipo to come back, and I'm not sure what's going on with Sabonis. He might be hurt. But the other night they played a game, and T.J. Warren and Malcolm Brogdon really showed up for them. They're exciting to watch. I cannot wait for Oladipo to come back and play with these guys, because I think they're going to be a very good team, and they're going to be somebody you want to watch out for down the line. And last but not least, I try to give out kudos to players that nobody remembers, or somebody they forgot, right? So I'm going to throw this at you. You're one of your favorite players, since you love those former Kansas guards. Devontae Graham is over in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Averaged about 17 points a game. Dropped 35 last night. Always liked this game because he was small. Nobody really thought he could play. They always discount him in the pros. But I just think he needed the right place, the right time. Not saying they're going to win a lot of games, but I think this is a place he can flourish, and he's showing that. So congrats to him on getting the opportunity to play and really taking advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, one of the things that I never understood that Milwaukee did is get rid of Brogdon. I never understood that. Maybe there were some financial circumstances behind that, but he was a solid player for them, and I thought that he was the key for how far they went in the playoffs, and they just get rid of him. And now it seems like they need a player of his caliber to kind of help Oladipo, and they don't have it. And so I never understood that. But also, I'm hoping we can get Black on here some other time and talk about Cat, because Cat is balling this year. He's balling, and he has a new attitude. I don't know where this attitude came from, but he ain't taking nothing from nobody. Went after Embiid last week, and both of them got suspended for, I wouldn't call it a fight, because I don't think NBA players can fight. They really never have a good knock them out, drag out fight. But unless you're a child and you punch, sucker punch Kobe. But anyway, I think Cat has a new attitude, and he's going after it, saying, "Okay, I'm the leader of this team, and somebody stole my or licked the red off my candy. Somebody stole my lunch, and I want it back." Kind of attitude that he feels that he could dominate and be one of the elite big men in the league, because I think that's what we're missing in the league. There are very few elite big men in the league, and I think Cat has the ability to do that. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I'm glad to see that he is.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see that he's fighting, because a lot of people think he's soft. I won't mention any names, but he is now in a position where all of the so-called superstars that was around him are gone now. So with that being said, they have to move forward, and it's time for him to rise to the occasion and step up. Excuse my little whistling. I got company calling me, but I'm still here. But I think he needs to rise up and show his leadership, and that he can get the job done for that team. And that's the only way, because they've invested a lot of money in him. He is their franchise player. So with that being said, it's time. Maybe he heard Black Thor talking about him. I was supposed to say that. He heard him talking about him, and it's time for him to step up. And they have some pretty decent players over there. They made some changes. I think they have this Covington over there from Philadelphia. I think so.
Okay, yeah, Covington's over there. I'm trying to think of the other – the guard, number zero. I can't call his name right now.
And
but,
I think Kenny
Bates Diop
is getting
a little
run from Ohio State too, right?
Yeah, but they got to get production from Wiggins. Whatever Cat is eating or the pill they gave him, they got to give it to Wiggins. Those guys have to be – they got to be beasts. They got to be beasts for Minnesota. And if that coach can get it out of them, I think they're going to make a great run. But here's another question I want to ask you, because this load management stuff is really bothering me. And it would really bother me if I was a season ticket holder and I wanted to watch some games in the NBA, and you tell me before the game that the star player that I want to see at that game is not playing because the team is resting him. Now, I know the NBA approved him not playing this game against Milwaukee, but this is a game on primetime ESPN, but he's deciding to play at TNT. I know ESPN is having a hissy fit over Kawhi not playing on their network when they kind of maybe kind of promoted the game that he's going to play, and then he doesn't show. And I think the NBA has a problem with this that they need to rectify. These guys are getting paid too much money for load management and resting games if they're really not hurt, Ice. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with that, but we know how that works. I'm sure in the negotiations for Kawhi Leonard to go to the Clippers, it probably was mentioned to the Clippers and Doc Rivers, hey, look, man, sometimes I just want to lay it down. If we're doing real well, I think I need to sit out. And I think that's just cognizant of them making sure that he's not overused. Something in San Antonio, though, they kind of just put him out there all the time and Pop wanting to be ready at all times. Sometimes that could be a bit much. So I think there's a loophole, and I think they're taking advantage of it. And when there's so much, we just talked about earlier about the concern about health and the player's health and looking out for themselves. If it was a different team, yeah, but with a guy that's a mega superstar and clearly has shown you that he's a leader and he cannot just do it for one team, that he's worth the price of admission. You might miss him one place, but you'll see him another. I don't think they're going to really give him too much of a problem, because the fact that he was able to showcase and literally lead Toronto to a championship by example, you're not going to give Kawhi Leonard too much grief. What he has done for Canada in basketball by winning that championship over there. So I don't think the commissioner is going to cause too many problems. Not there. Somewhere else maybe, but not there.
But for me, this is where you give fuel to guys like Michael Jordan and guys that played in an era where there was no load management and stuff like that. Because I remember going to a game here in Chicago where the Chicago Bulls were playing the Washington, I forget if it was the Bullets or the Wizards at that particular time. And you knew the Wizards weren't going to win that game. But Michael played maybe 8 minutes of the first half. He went out there, he started, played, they sat him down, rested him. You know, the team was playing and they were winning. Came in the second half, played a few minutes in the second half, and then sat down. I would accept that a little bit more than just having a player just sitting in their street clothes, not even dressed up. When I paid my good hard-earned money to see that player on the floor, at least get some snapshots and pictures of him actually shooting a jump shot, playing some defense, having one dunk or a steal or something that I can say, you know what, I saw this person play. When you get older and you tell your grandkids, well, granddad, did you see Kawhi Leonard play? No, he was on load management the night I went to go see him. So I didn't actually get to see him play in person. So to me, it would be better if the NBA said, listen, you don't have to play the whole game. We'll cut your minutes so that you're not, you know, putting a load on your body. When we know that you're playing a team, that especially televised games where advertisers, I know advertisers are going to have a fit with this, where we're buying advertisement because we're expecting certain players to play. That's attracting viewers. And so I would like it better if the NBA could say to teams, like, listen, you can suit up, play half the minutes, play one-fourth, 25% of the time. But just don't just flat out say, I'm not going to play because it's a back-to-back. I think the coaches need to do a better job of resting players and playing other players when you're playing back-to-back or playing teams that aren't really that good. So you don't have to put your superstars out there and extend them and have them play all these minutes against teams that they know they can beat. I mean, I don't know if you agree or disagree, or what could be the solution to this instead of players just not showing up.
Well, unfortunately, I feel your pain. I understand it, but I don't think that's really going to change much. Just kind of like the NFL. When they talk about now, you can't touch the quarterback and you can't put any hits on anybody. And it's a passing league where these quarterbacks are getting all these passing yards and the defenders are frustrating trying to make plays. But you mentioned the Jordan, and they're probably looking at Jordan like, yo, man, sorry about your luck. I'm sorry. But I think it's changed. I think that they're probably looking at certain games saying, you don't need to do this, you don't need to play here. But, again, it's the players. It's a players' league, and people want to see them. And it's very unfortunate like that, that they were not doing that. But they're going to play in the big games. You know that. So that's not a problem for, I think, the TV folks. Because even though George is out, and that was the biggest game, game one, Lakers versus Clippers. What if Kawhi said, you know, I don't think I'm going to play tonight? That wasn't even an option. That wasn't an option. He had to play. George was already out, and everybody wanted to see the show. So I think when it comes down to it, they might be looking at the schedule and going, what you think? No, I'm good. I'm good. And it's unfortunate for the fans. I give that to you, but come on. You know how that is. Sorry about that, Junior. Your daddy just spent $255. You and your mama and baby girl, you just get your jersey and maybe you catch him at that golf outing and your daddy got to pay $2,000 for it. Maybe you can get a signed autograph jersey. I know it's messed up, but that's the
y'all ain't going to have Christmas this year.
Right. Yeah. I thought he was going to play, Daddy. You said you knew him. You know, my dad, my uncle, the janitor back there, knew his cousin named Billy Smith. His uncle, that's his manager. And they had to catch a plane real quick. Otherwise, you wouldn't meet him, Joe. Yeah, Daddy, you promised. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of that, but it's how it is, man. It's sad but real.
All right, man. Let's go back to UFC. We have some time to talk boxing. But the Diaz-Masvidal fight, if there's a rematch, man, I don't know if Diaz can pull this off and beat Masvidal because this guy, Jorge, he's a beast, man. He is a beast, and he looks like he's game. I think these two have respect for each other because they know they're bad. They're going to go after each other. And I love Nate Diaz, but if I had to bet, I would have to put my money on Masvidal, Jorge Masvidal, game breed, in the next fight. Based on what I see him do to Nate Diaz in the fight, those side kicks to the midsection, I think kind of really took its toll on Nate Diaz, and then he was coming with elbows and punches, and even Nate Diaz was, you know, he was a gamer, he was coming on, but in a 5-round fight again, rematch with all that scar tissue on Nate Diaz's face, I see this happening again in the next fight. What say you, sir?
Well, I'm glad you think that way. That's why I'm with Nate Diaz to the end.
That's your nice way of saying you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I think you have true evidence that it could happen. I agree with you. It could. But I just think about Nate Diaz and when he fought Conor McGregor the first time, and everybody said that Conor was this great guy or whatever. And then Masvidal just showed you that he's capable, and he beat him down. He beat him fair and square. But I think you give Nate Diaz a little time. He realized what he can do now to watch out, too, and kind of figure it out that I'm going to still roll with him because, I mean, he's a dog, man. He's a dog, and he might be over his head. But one thing Nate Diaz said, he said, nobody want to fight this guy. I want to fight him. He said, I can fight people and make money and not be challenged. He said, but I called him out. He said, nobody wanted to fight him. He said, I'll put him on. Now y'all want to watch him. But I applaud Nate Diaz for that. But to answer your question, I mean, consider that he had the chance. Now he knows what the guy's bringing. I'm going to still roll with my dog. I'm going with Nate Diaz to the end, baby. I don't think he's that old. I think he can come back. I just think that if your guy, if he comes off with the wrong attitude because he's kind of cocky now. And truth be told, even though Nate – and he's always bloody, and I thought he was done, but he got back up. But he's always bloody because of that scar tissue you mentioned. But the one thing about him, he still was kind of rocking old boy, too. He was giving him the business.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was tearing him up. And old boy knew it, too. He was like, oh, my God. He was laughing, trying to act as if he was okay. He wouldn't be in touch. But, nah, man, Nate Diaz don't care, man. Nate Diaz is the guy you want to have with you when you go to a club. And you drink it, and you go, man, this is bad dudes over there. Might be some Hell Angels in there. We got Nate. I don't give a damn. I'll fight anybody. He is one crazy motherfucker. Yeah, he is. He truly is. I'm rolling with Nate.
So,
right to the end,
let me
man.
Ask you this.
Ride or die.
Let me ask you this, because I'm looking forward to seeing that fight. But do you think Conor McGregor wants any smoke with Masvidal?
Oh, no. If you don't want Nate, you think you want Masvidal? If you don't want if you don't want Nate again, we can't get to Nate the third fight with Nate. And you saw what he was able to do with Nate, and he's younger too. Or well, they're about the same age, but that guy's hungry and he's talking stuff, eating pizza at the end of the thing. That's the other thing too. You gonna eat pizza after the video, huh? Yeah, you come in and shape. You come in out of shape with Nate Diaz. I guarantee you, he gonna get you. Maybe he's getting fat. He got a little belt. He got the Rock with him. We'll see. But yeah, Conor McGregor, as he said, doesn't want that smoke unless it's a big money fight.
I'm wondering how much it has to be to get Conor McGregor in there because, he's supposed to be suspended. He's coming back now. He's having legal issues, and so it seems like he's doing everything and anything to stay out of that ring and just live off the reputation. But somewhere along the line, he's going to have to face one of these guys, if not both of them, to keep his reputation in the UFC. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm not the UFC guy, but now I'm going to be a UFC guy from now on. Until boxing comes back, I'm down with the UFC. I got to be. Because boxing, especially Golden Boy, is really disappointing. And it's like, how many times can you think you could fool the people to where you won't tarnish your brand? And I know you're trying to push up Carnelo, and you convinced Carnelo that he beat Triple G two times, and you keep rigging these fights for your fighters. It's just not fun to watch anymore. And so, I'll watch other folks like Showtime. Showtime has some great fighters coming on, up and young fighters coming on. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those guys. But when I see Golden Boy Productions, unless there's a fighter that I want to see, I'm not watching it because that, to me, equates the fix is in. Any other thoughts on boxing before we get out of here? Got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like you said, boxing. I think we have some good fights coming up boxing-wise. And Showtime is going to show you the way to promote fights and have people tune in no matter who or what is going on. It could be the return of the circus. But, yeah, they're going to show you what time it is. So do not despair, Puma. Boxing is not dead.
All right. Last second shot, man?
Yeah, I have not done it, so I'm going to do it now. Kudos to the Washington Nationals, who I said would not win. I said they were a joke. Kudos to them winning their title, and I was wrong. But I'll say this, and not to back it up or even act as if I'm backing off of what I said. But I used to watch the Washington Nationals a long time ago when they started coming around. I thought they always were talented, and I just didn't think that they ever played to their potential. This time they did, and particularly watching somebody like Zimmerman, who was with the club from the beginning. And last but not least, kudos to Steven Strasburg, man. He was the number one pick, and I think they did him a disservice because they tried to save him and wouldn't let him pitch. This time they took all the shackles off of him and let that man pitch. He proved that he is one of the best pitchers going around now and maybe one of the greatest of all time if they let him pitch. So congratulations, Washington. My bad. You ain't going to win next year, but congratulations.
There you go. It's started already. There you go. I have to say congratulations to South Africa for winning the World Cup of Rugby. And one of the things that I was watching and talking to some of the people there who are from South Africa and have family in South Africa is that if different races on that team can come together and accomplish that, why can't the country come together and accomplish some greater things with the people there and the situations there? And so it's just another example of how sports can really be a microcosm of and a teacher to try to solve some of society's ills. That's our show for tonight, and we'll be back. Come back and join us next week right here on Blog Talk Radio, and also check out our First 40, First 40 of the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show on YouTube. We'll see you later. Take care.
Nasty song no more.
I love this song, man.
No. I mean, I think
the show tonight, I'm going to put this as the intro and the outro.
I think this is where you learn how to speak Spanish.
Later, man.
Later, man.